Loving God, open our eyes to see and ears to hear your message for our life this day. And open our hearts that we might grow in the strength of Christian family, that we might grow in the strength of this church family, that we might grow in strength in the human family as we continue to celebrate the love and the grace with which Jesus has touched us. All this we remember in his name. Amen. Good morning. Oh, very nice. It's good to have you here on this Mother's Day, a wonderful day for us to be in church, to be together as families together. It's a wonderful day for us to remember those who have shown us, we know, as children, those who have shown us great love, but also who in our lives came to show us little things that reminded us of love. You may note on the altar today, do you see what's on there? It's a weird thing, isn't it? What I've got, grilled cheese and tomato soup. How did you know that? Who said that? You did. You cheated. With our children today, I brought that up and showed that to them. For years, even for Mrs. Everhart's class, I remember coming home on the bus and Mom served me tomato soup and grilled cheese. Now, we had peanut butter and jelly and macaroni and cheese and other stuff, but I remember that on the altar so much I got sick of it. Now, I like it now, but for years I could not eat it. But, you know, as she has passed away this year, to remember those little things, which may not seem like a lot. It's only a can of tomato stuff, right? But those little things in our life that remind us and connect us to the love of God. That today is what we celebrate. Those who we have called our mothers, be they biological or others, who did those little things in our life to connect us to loving ways in family and loving ways in God. I do want to say also today, and I've said before, but last few years I've kind of missed this piece, is that often when we come to Mother's Day, it can be a very difficult day. It's not always easy. For those who have lost their mothers, as I have shared about myself, for those who perhaps have lost children, for those whose families were dysfunctional, whose families perhaps were abusive, you know, this day can be very difficult, and we want to acknowledge that and say that's a reality. We don't want to idealize. We want to celebrate love, what is about. And yet, even though as I've shared that with you, I think it's important that we look at the issue of family together, not, you know, family in its holistic way, what it's about in terms of God intended, and not just our own little families. You know, I've worked with a number of people whose family situation was nothing but painful. That's why, you know, there's no way other way to talk about it. But to know we are not limited to just that family. Family is bigger than that. As I was raised in rural Ohio in a farm culture, you know, we in our family at Thanksgiving or Christmas time or other big events, we all as biological family got together. Those who married into it, and we all got together in family. What were those people? That kind of farm culture thing. And we need to acknowledge that isn't the way this day. And maybe it never has been. But especially in our modern society, as we have seen people with the ability to move or have to go someplace to get jobs, is sometimes the biological family is not together. Is that we make decisions about who our family is. You know, I know in this church, come Thanksgiving or Christmas time, even sometimes when people's families, biological families are close, what a lot of families in this church do is they invite other friends from the church to come over for Thanksgiving feast. Family is different. It includes friends these days. We make decisions about who our family is. And often, even if it's a biological family, you still need to make a decision about loving that group there, right? That one that is your family. This morning's Old Testament reading, we have that wonderful passage from Ruth about the story between Naomi and Ruth, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Naomi has two sons, and in the reading we hear that her husband passes away, but also her two sons pass away. And it's just her and her two daughter-in-laws. She encourages her daughter-in-laws, go home, be with your people. And that makes sense, correct? One daughter-in-law leaves, she goes back to her people. But Ruth makes a decision about family. And she says, don't send me away. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. that wonderful expression about being family together based on decision and based on love. Even as they're different ethnic groups, they're not the same kinds of people, if you will. And it's a wonderful teaching from us from the Old Testament, as we also hear from Ezra and Nehemiah. There's some scriptures that talk about how intermarriage was bad. This shouldn't happen. Ruth stands over against that and says, no. God's love and grace and family is more than just the group we are a part of. It's much deeper and much richer. And we can decide how God can form our families together. As we think this day about what it means for us to be family and strengthening our families as a church, you know, we come to Mother's Day. Those who put tomato soup before us on the table, right? Those who dressed us, those who wiped our noses, those who changed our diapers. And I'm not going to go too far with that. But we remember that intimate care that was there. And those pieces of love that it is about. When we think of family, it is about those who humbly make a decision to love each other. Whether they are born into that or not. When we talk about family, we talk about those who make decisions to love each other in strong and committed ways. We talk about people who sometimes will admit mistakes and are freely and open to say, I'm sorry, a lot of the time. When we talk about family, we talk about those who speak the truth in love to those around them. And we need to work strongly. And even though we are decision people, those who are our family, we need to continue to work strongly to strengthen those and not let the society or ourselves work against that family. We know there are pressures in our world to try to push us apart from the worship of money and things, from scheduling ourselves to death so we can't be with each other, to stuff inside of us where we haven't learned how to really relate as families. And sometimes we have to fight that and strengthen that. We continue to need to work at that in ways of love and grace. And know that family are those that God sends to us in those ways of love and possibility. Let me share with you a strange family story. And just so you know, it's not my personal family, although there are some of those. For those of you who were here last week, you remember I talked about our clergy association. Does anybody remember that? The announcement time I shared with you what our monthly meeting was this last Thursday, a lunch over at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. And what we decided for our meeting, we have lunch and do some business together, but we decided to have some speakers in. One who was a licensed social worker, a licensed practicing social worker, and a licensed counselor. And we asked them to make presentations to us about post-traumatic stress disorder. Has anybody heard of that? You know, that PTSD is the kind of the catchphrase for it these days. Obviously, we know that kind of stress issues, traumatic stress issues, isn't just one group of people. Sometimes that happens in abusive families. Sometimes that happens after issues like September 11th or Virginia Tech or Columbine. That post-traumatic stress stuff is there. We as a clergy association wanted to hear about how that relates to soldiers who are coming home from combat. Now, I want to be honest with you. Most of you have been here with me for a number of years. You remember my views on the war, correct? I was against both, Afghanistan and Iraq, strongly against both. However, that should not keep us, me or any of us, to being ministers of Jesus Christ to those who deal with those kinds of issues. We as clergy came together to hear about our United Methodist men's group 2 years ago had a speaker during our second service, Jim Seaman. Jim Seaman, who was an active anti-war demonstrator in Vietnam, was drafted, served on an aircraft carrier, and saw combat. He came and talked to us about how do you minister to soldiers who come back from war, so we can learn a little bit about that. As we were listening to our two speakers, you know, a fascinating thing happened. And let me remind you, do you know who I'm talking about? Clergy? Do you know how weird we are? Chris is chuckling back there. We're talking about some weird people here. And we're talking about people from way different traditions who, even though all of us this day were Christian, you know, we don't even talk about the gospel in the same ways often. We don't have same kind of emphasis in our churches together. We come from different cultures, you know, Christian cultures, if you will. They're Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, some from Baptist, Willow Creek Association. We had Evangelical Covenant that were there, and we had some guests that were there. We were different kind of people. And yet, these presenters started to talk about post-traumatic stress stuff, and the group got quiet. And then they started talking about soldiers, the issues with soldiers in their life. And before the presenters could ask for questions, you know, do you have any questions out there? They got interrupted, and a woman pastor held up her hand, and she said, I just want to say, my husband served in Vietnam in combat, and what you're saying is right on the money. What we had to deal with is exactly what it was like. Before the presenter could go on, another gentleman held up his hand. Clergy said, I was in the Air Force during that time. I didn't serve in Vietnam. But I know servicemen during that time of Vietnam, especially right after, they suffered. Do you remember that? From anti-war activists. But also, as we learned from Jim Seaman, they weren't accepted very well by veterans when they came back. It was awful. He finished speaking. Another person said, you know, I think it was either Air Force or Navy. And let me tell you about the bureaucracy of dealing with the military and trying to get some help from some folks. He stopped. I shared something about Uncle John, my Uncle John, World War II. When he came back, he said, I cannot imagine there's a God that would let happen what I saw. And then we had a pastor hold up his hand and said, you know, my dad was a World War II vet. And I remember many a night going into his bedroom as he woke up screaming with night terrors. And then how he tried to work that through by being a workaholic, proving that he could do good stuff in the world. Now, let me remind you, these are pastors. They're a weird bunch of people. And yet, as we gathered around to hear about that, what happened? We didn't mean for that sharing to happen. We wanted to get information to be able to do our jobs better. And yet, when we gathered around common struggles and hurts, we started sharing, and there was a sense of family about that. Now, let me be clear. You know, not all those clergy are going to be my family. And we're not going to be real close like often even we are in the church. But as we share those struggles and that brokenness, and as we came together in Christian purpose to love in ways God wants us to love, I think we began to see and began to be part of what that family of love and grace God wants us to be. When we shared our brokenness and have a common purpose. We come together today, I hope, to strengthen ourselves as families. And often, like we shared as a clergy association, are there any struggles or brokenness in anybody's family besides mine? You bet there. I assume there is. We need to tend to that as families. Because that can go two ways. Did you know that? I have seen some families who have lost loved ones, who have struggled with health or death issues, who have struggled with financial issues. And sometimes if you insert some difficulty in those kinds of families, it's like inserting super glue. They stick together like you would not believe. And they learn to love each other even more. On the other hand, I've seen families, when they have those same kinds of issues, it's like throwing a hand grenade in their midst. And they turn on each other. And they cannibalize their own family. We as followers of Jesus Christ need to receive God's love and intentionally deal with our brokenness in ways of love and grace. We as followers of Jesus Christ need to know what it means to be accepted by the love of God and be able to set aside maybe some hurts, some pains, some resentments, some questions, some unresolved stuff. And commit ourselves to sacrificially love each other, especially in difficult things in our life. Because when we do that, God will bless us. Secondly, I would suggest this. Not only do we deal with our brokenness in terms of family, but secondly, I would say we, as individual families, need to ask ourselves, what is our purpose in Jesus Christ? Your family. What's your family's purpose in Jesus Christ? You know, when I do weddings, I do the counseling stuff we do? How to get along? What do you argue about? Are you tending to your money issues? All those things that can separate, you know, really break families apart. At the last part of the counseling with them, I also say to them, you know, I'm a Christian pastor, don't you? And they usually know that by then. But I say, Christ calls us to service and godly purpose. And what's the purpose of your family? And usually they look at me like I'm from Jupiter. And they often say, well, we want to treat, you know, close together, grow close together. You know, we want to make a living and have a good life. We want to have kids. And I said, you know, that's okay. Then we need to strengthen that. That's why we're here. But what's your purpose as a family? What's your God-serving purpose, Christ-serving purpose as your family unit? Is your family put together just to serve yourselves? And we have powerful discussions after that. You're in the gospel reading today. Did you hear that? I know all of you, when we read the first chapter, you know, the genealogies of Jesus, you all said, we're going to be here till 1 o'clock, aren't we? 38, no, how many generations was that? 30, what is it? 14 times 3, whatever that is. 42 generations. And we didn't read those, but God works through family. That's what that's about. And when families understand purpose, when Mary and Jesus received their purpose as a family, what happened? Salvation came into the world. It was the family that did that. It wasn't just one of them. It was both of them. So I ask you, what's your purpose? And that's not an easy question. But we all are called to it as a family. So this Mother's Day, what are the struggles and the brokenness you need to come to terms with and love each other around? And secondly, what's the purpose of your family? God-giving purpose that I know God has for each of us. Make sure we tend to a little bit of that. Begin that wondering, that praying, and maybe that discussion within our family so we might continue to grow in those ways on this Mother's Day. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for the ways you touch our life. We thank you for the immense love you have given us in Jesus Christ, but also we thank you for the hands that served us tomato soup and grilled cheese. Because there's love in each of that. So Lord, bless us this day. Help us take the hurt and the brokenness and the common struggles we have to come together. And help us continue to evaluate and think and receive your call as to what the purpose of our families might be. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.